Welcome to Module 5 of the Virtual Instructional Leadership Challenge. I'm Justin Bader, and in this module, we're going to explore how to create bandwidth for instructional leadership. We're never going to simply find the time or energy that we need for instructional leadership just lying around unused. We're going to have to be very intentional about allocating and even creating that bandwidth. So we're going to start now thinking about the place that instructional leadership occupies in terms of our priorities. And you've probably seen the Eisenhower matrix here and there. You might also have seen it referred to as the Covey quadrant. And there's this idea that some tasks are important, some are not important, some are urgent, and some are not urgent. And I think instructional leadership often falls in that most difficult quadrant, the important but not urgent quadrant, right? And it's easy to do things that are important and urgent. It's tempting to get pulled into things that are urgent but not important, and hopefully you have good systems in place for delegating and ignoring those distractions that are not important. But when it comes to doing that important but not urgent work of instructional leadership, we really have to be intentional, and we really have to decide to build that into our practice on a daily basis, because it's not going to happen by default. There are always going to be things that are more urgent that demand our attention, and we have to be the ones as leaders who say, you know what, this is important, this matters, I am going to be the one to set aside time for instructional leadership. But it's not just time. We talk about bandwidth rather than just time because there's a second component that matters a great deal, and that is mental energy. So we're going to explore both of these throughout this module, and we'll spend most of the remainder of this module talking about time. But right now, we're going to dive in deep on this idea of mental energy. A lot of my awareness and knowledge of the idea of mental energy or the idea of willpower comes from Roy Baumeister and John Tierney's 2011 book, Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength. And in this book, Baumeister describes many of the experiments that he did as a psychology researcher to discover this idea of willpower, or what we might think of as mental energy. And he's an experimental psychologist, and many of his experiments involve tests that ask people to exhibit emotional self-regulation or decision-making, or ask people to do some sort of cognitive task while they're also doing something else that's challenging, such as sticking their hand in a bowl of ice water. And he has different ways of quantifying this idea of mental energy or willpower. For example, how many seconds can you keep your hand in a bowl of ice water? Or how well can you perform on a certain cognitive test after being asked to do something that is, say, emotionally demanding, like perhaps watching a sad video about animals and not showing any emotion on your face? He had lots of ingenious and perhaps slightly mean experiments that have been very valuable in helping us discover how mental energy really works. And this is a concept that we use informally, right? This is a concept that we use casually. We say, oh, I'm really just drained, or I'm just zapped, or I'm just brain dead. Well, Baumeister actually got very experimental about that and got very quantitative in terms of understanding how this works and how we can measure it. And what he found through this long series of experiments over a period of many years was that there are a number of factors that drain our mental energy in measurable ways. And these are all going to be fairly intuitive when you see the list here. Things like having to exert self-control, right? The more you have to kind of keep it together, be professional, have a pleasant look on your face no matter what you're thinking, that's going to drain your mental energy. Having to suppress any kind of emotions and, you know, stay calm, avoid getting upset when you feel upset, any kind of demanding cognitive work, right? If you have to do some heavy duty writing or thinking or planning, for students when they have to take a test. And of course, any type of physical work can drain us mentally as well. You know, if you've been out working in the yard or cleaning up, you know that right after that may not be the best time to do demanding cognitive work because you're already drained. And surprisingly, one of the things that Baumeister found that really drains our mental energy is decision-making, even for very tiny and unimportant decisions. And that will have implications for us in just a moment. But the overall idea here is that our brains kind of work like a battery. We have mental energy that gets recharged every night when we sleep, just like you plug in your phone and it charges overnight. Your brain gets recharged, metaphorically speaking, overnight, and it regains its capacity to do work throughout the day. And of course, over the course of the day, just as your phone battery drains from being used, your mental energy gets drained from the work that you do, from the self-regulation that you exhibit, from the decision-making that you do. And as your battery gets more and more drained, your brain gets less and less good at doing what it most needs to do, right? We can, of course, still do the basics. We can keep ourselves alive. You know, you can drive home no matter how tired you are from a tough day. But we know there are certain things that we're not going to be as good at when our batteries start to get drained. So specifically, Baumeister found that when we enter that ego-depleted state, he calls this state of having drained batteries ego depletion, and when we enter that state, he calls it decision fatigue. When our mental energy is low, we have decision fatigue. We've made so many decisions throughout the course of the day, and as a result, our brains are tired and they are ready to take shortcuts. We mentally start to take the easy way out. And rather than work on something, we put it off, we ignore it, we pick it up and put it down again and say, man, I'll get to that later. So we procrastinate, we take the easy route, we go with the default option. We don't think carefully about what we need to do. And in some cases, this is based on studies of judges and seeing the sentences that they gave out at different times of day. And if the judge was hungry, if it had been a long time since lunch and the afternoon was wearing on, the sentences would get harsher and they would do a poorer job of taking into consideration the unique factors of each case. So this has very real consequences in a lot of areas of life. And for us, as leaders, we of course have to think about discipline. We have to think about how we respond to staff members and parents, and of course the quality of our work. And in all cases, that work is going to be lower in quality when we're not as fully charged in terms of our mental energy. So when it comes to maximizing our productivity, one of the things this tells us is that our ability to do endless amounts of high quality work is not there. It's not infinite. We cannot simply work longer and longer and longer and expect to sustain the same level of quality, which, you know, we probably know intuitively, but this was actually a finding that was challenged by none other than Carol Dweck. And Dweck's critique of Baumeister's work is actually pretty interesting. This appeared in the New York Times. There's a little bit of back and forth between Baumeister and Dweck and their colleagues. And Carol Dweck found that if you are aware of this idea of willpower or of mental energy and the fact that it can be depleted, sometimes simply the awareness of that can make you give up sooner than you probably should. And she found that simply having the mindset that you can press on, that you can do a little bit more, that you can push yourself, did give people the ability to push themselves a bit further. And Baumeister pushed back and said, okay, yes, you can push a little bit further, you can motivate yourself to do maybe, you know, a few more things, but still you're going to run out of steam at some point. And I think that's an important kind of balance for us to keep in mind. So a couple of Dweck's takeaways from her work and her critique of Baumeister's work on willpower. When we believe our mental energy is fixed and limited, we give up sooner. But when we believe we can keep going a little bit further, we can. And we shouldn't allow the very real limits that exist on our mental energy to become excuses for giving up too soon. At the same time, we are going to hit a limit at some point. And we've got to be aware of that when it comes to planning our day and being realistic about what we think we can actually get done in a single work day. Now, there is one shortcut, one kind of magic wand trick here that Baumeister talks about in his Willpower book that I think can be incredibly useful to us as educational leaders. And that is habit. The idea of habit is a powerful one because we already rely on habits for much of what we do. But there's a hidden advantage to habits that Baumeister uncovers for us. He says that anything we do by habit that doesn't involve actually making a decision in the moment is not going to drain our batteries. It's not going to deplete our mental energy the way it would if we were stopping and thinking and making a decision about that particular thing at that particular moment. And we've all experienced this over the course of our careers as educators, right? As a first-year teacher, for example, everything is a new decision. You know, students come up to you, where do I put my paper? How do I write my name on the paper? And in the moment, you have to make hundreds and hundreds of decisions all throughout the day. And by the end of the day, you're zonked. You're totally zapped and depleted because you've made so many decisions throughout the day. And over time, you start to get consistent. You already know what questions are going to be asked. It's not really a decision to answer that same question from a student on the first day of your 10th year of teaching the way it is in your first year, right? Because it's a habitual response, right? You know what you're going to say. You don't really even have to think about it. And that conserves that mental energy. So one thing that means for us is the better we can build habits into our day that get us the results we want, and the less we can have to decide what to do throughout the day, the more energy we're going to have for the work that needs it most. And this can apply to little things like what we eat for lunch or what we wear. Perhaps you have a Monday outfit, or perhaps you have a first Monday of the month outfit that you always wear. You know, there's certainly opportunities to kind of simplify your decision making about what you wear and what you eat. You know, there was one year when I was a teacher when I pretty much ate trail mix the entire year. That worked for me. It gave me lots of energy. It was exactly what I needed. And I'm not saying you have to eat trail mix for lunch. Do what works for you. But things like meal prep, you know, making all of your meals on Sunday, or just having some sort of default choice that's healthy, that works for you, that saves you having to make that decision every morning. Because as Baumeister's research has shown us, we do not have an infinite ability to simply make decision after decision after decision all day long and still be fresh for the work that we really need to get done as instructional leaders. Now, a couple of other sequencing things and scheduling things that we can keep in mind here as implications of this research. First, we've got to put first things first, right? Back to the Stephen Covey idea of putting in the big rocks in your calendar. What really needs to get done for the day needs to be prioritized sequentially, not just in terms of mentally, I think this is important, but ordinally, sequencing-wise, I need to do this first because I'm going to be the freshest, earliest in the day. So that cognitively demanding work, if I'm going to need to do some writing or make a very important decision, I don't want to put that off till the end of the day. Sequencing wise, I want to do it early. And by the same token, anything that's going to involve unimportant but high volume decisions like dealing with emails, right? Where do I file this email? How do I process this email? How do I reply to this? All those little decisions should be pushed off to the end of the day so they're not consuming that mental energy that you need for your most important work. So let's apply this right now. Go ahead and get out your journal, and in your Module 5 journal, you'll find space to answer these two reflection questions. First, what high volume, low importance work could I shift to later in the day? Maybe you're checking your email first thing in the morning and spending 45 minutes on that before everyone else gets to work. Well, that could be something that you shift to the end of the day so that, you know, all of those unimportant emails can wait until you've done your most important work. And second, other than getting into classrooms, what other important work should I shift earlier in the day when my mental energy is the highest so that you can devote your best thinking to that most important instructional leadership work? When you've answered those two questions in your journal, you're ready to move on to the next section.